Hello, and welcome to the Parenting and Productivity Podcast. It has been a minute since I've had an episode, and today it's going to be just me, Christine Moran, testing out my new audio setup, and I'm going to talk about some of my productivity thoughts since the new year. It is 2022, mid-February at this point, so I've had a chance to try out a couple of my new thoughts. The first thing was a reflection on why even be productive to begin with. What does productivity mean to me? Is it something external that people are forcing me to do or something internal? And should my goal be to produce things or just to feel fulfilled? And I did a lot of reflection on kind of my various hobbies and goals, and I think I came up with, in this phase of my life, it's all about feeling fulfilled, and a product at the end doesn't necessarily have to be a product of my productivity, that it could be something that's just for me as well. And then in the pandemic, we've also seen, because this is Productivity and Parenting Podcast, that in January, for example, we had no days with full childcare for both our kids. And so it becomes even more difficult to kind of fit in those things that, you know, outside of work feel almost like self-care in terms of productivity. And that as well was something that I began to think of productivity as a form of self-care for me, a way to kind of continue to grow and explore what I value in areas outside of work, outside of parenting, outside of my relationship with my husband and with my relationships with my friends, but kind of a form of, you know, being with myself and doing things that I enjoy. As part of all of this as well, I did a couple really fantastic exercises. I participated in a value aligning course with Dr. Lucien Welkowitz, who is a astrophysicist and works at the Adler Planetarium. And we had a really fantastic workshop with a variety of people from all around the world working on our goals and a mission statement. And I was really found that very valuable as I was reflecting on my relationship with productivity and things that I wanted to do in the next few years. So that kind of sitting back and reflecting was very useful. As well, I had the chance to work with a client who wanted to improve their productivity, and that was very useful for me, as well as I reflected on things that work for me and how to be more general in more of a coaching context than a consultation context as well. So consultation is kind of you deliver the answers, and coaching, you kind of help someone discover what the answers are for them, which could be very different from what the answers are for you personally. And that client was a parent and a person who wanted to be very productive themselves. So I felt like, you know, even watching their journey and being along with cheering them on helped me reflect on things that work for me and don't, and things that can be more general. Going into the new year as well, I love New Year's. It's one of my favorite times, just kind of a good milestone to reflect, and birthdays are good for that as well. But I think New Year's has this kind of big reset button to it, to reflect on the habits that are and aren't working for you. And around New Year's, I revamped a variety of things, and that's what I'm going to focus on for the rest of the conversation today. The first thing that I revamped was just making sure to track my habits in a really fun and engaging and useful way, and also to decide what exactly those habits were. So before the new year, and a lot of habits that were a little bit more fine-grained, for example, study Chinese or study another subject, for example, exoplanet science. And I'd broken these down into little kind of let me check the box when I do exactly that when I study Chinese. And I didn't check the box often enough for the habit to become really a habit. So what I chose to do was to lump a lot of those habits that were a little bit more infrequent into kind of a category. And so for that category, I decided learning. And I decided I want to spend, you know, 10 minutes learning something every day. And that's another thing that I decided to do was to, for some of these habits, change the units. So instead of kind of a checkbox, I did this, or something that maybe is not accomplishable with my current lifestyle, for example, study Chinese or learn for 30 minutes every day, I tried to dial it into something that I would be able to check the habit box frequently enough that I was really motivated to find creative ways to do that. So really using the habit tracker to kind of push me to create those good habits. And then I always feel like once you have a habit, it kind of expands from there. It becomes this much more natural thing. You have all the systems in place to maintain the habit, and then it's kind of like coasting at that point. And so the challenge is getting yourself from a place where I felt like I was before the new year, where I was just kind of exhausted all the time after my day at work and, you know, my day with my kids, and just didn't have the time. I did have the time, but I wasn't able to kind of have the energy to kind of get started. And getting started is sometimes the hardest part. And so another thing that really helped with having the energy was just a switch up in routine as well. And then I'll get back to the habits. But prior to the new year, I had a routine with my husband where I would often handle the mornings with the kids and my husband would handle kind of the evening chores, and we'd do bedtime together with the kids. And going into the new year, I said, I just want to try an experiment where we switch off a week with the morning with the kids and a week without the morning with the kids, and I'll do the evening chores. That was really helpful for my energy levels because it really helped me in those evenings where it was my evening to do the chores. Just the act of doing the chores ironically woke me up enough that sometimes I had that energy to do some hobbies afterwards. And then those mornings where I didn't have with the kids, where previously I had always had the mornings with the kids, I'd either be able to get a little bit more sleep, which is sometimes challenging because I breastfeed in the morning and then I would have to fall back asleep afterwards, or I'd just be able to have the space to get started on the habits that I wanted to maintain every day, and some of the good morning habits that I'm able to do on those mornings that I don't have the kid responsibility are meditation or read a book, sometimes some learning. And so just that switch in routine gave me not more time, but more energy. I think we both discovered that each of us had a lot of work independent of whether we were doing the morning work or the evening work or the paired together work. But that just that switch let me kind of appreciate and reset and take advantage of opportunities to have a little more energy. So back to the habits. I kind of grouped the learning habits into a group. And then instead of kind of having a goal of units of number of books, I changed the goal to read 10 minutes a day, which is a totally different goal, but has much the same impact because in the end, the purpose of me reading books wasn't necessarily to read a set number of books and impress other people. It was to have that space in my life to actually go ahead and read and enjoy the journey along the way, whether I'm learning something by reading or whether it is just for pleasure and getting that chance to kind of be in another world or be focused or in the zone. So that change in units, I think, really helped as well. And then the fact that I kind of revamped all my habits so that they are all frequent enough that I'm, you know, in my habit tracker every day, being excited to check things off. And it's not every day that I check everything off. There's some days where I just check one thing off, but it is every day that I'm motivated to bring open the habit tracker, which is another great habit that you have to form, because my habits were frequent enough to motivate, you know, at least every day I'm checking off one thing somewhere there. There's no day where I've been like, you know, I just totally failed, even in light of the huge kind of parenting challenges that happened in January. So that change in units with books really helped. And then I re-added my habit of meditation. So again, you know, part of my new year was kind of reflecting on what does productivity actually mean to me. And that can be a difficult thing to reflect on. So I really enjoyed bringing meditation back into my life, and again, kind of changing the units or the journey there. And I have been a previous user of Headspace, the app, and I rejoined. And what I appreciate is that they've also kind of changed the way that they track things. They still have courses, but it used to kind of be check off, you know, in order, the number of courses that you're doing, and then you kind of get in this cycle of meditating to check off boxes, instead of meditating to kind of basically have a set amount of time to yourself and figuring out what you need out of that particular day. So some days what I need is a sleep meditation to get me back to sleep when I've just breastfed in the morning, and I can sleep another half an hour if I get the chance and have the ability to go back to sleep. Other days what I need is kind of just very quiet space where I don't have any talking and it's just that. Other times, what I enjoy is actually following one of those courses that has a theme. And so I added to my habit tracker, just meditate 10 minutes a day. And that could be, you know, anything at all. It doesn't have to be Headspace. It doesn't have to be a particular type of course. It can be just take 10 minutes to kind of be very present. And that has not only impacted, I think, my ability to reflect and stay present and stay focused, but my energy levels. And then also just sometimes you get in a cycle where you're so low energy, it's hard to stay awake unless you keep yourself kind of constantly distracted and kind of looking at this, looking at that, multitasking. And I think the habit of meditation has helped me kind of bring energy and focus into areas of my life where sometimes I'm tempted to kind of divide my focus just to get through. So being more present with my kids, being more present at work in a meeting where maybe I'm not being called upon at the moment. Maybe the subject is distant to me, but just being able to bring my full self and my full attention has really been beneficial as well to kind of getting even more out of those moments where we don't necessarily have to be fully present, but if we are fully present, kind of adds an extra layer of benefit and meaning to that interaction. So as part of the kind of meditation and goal setting, I also, you know, I have many habits that aren't even in the habit tracker. For example, I take vitamins every day, I floss every day. I've actually written a short entry in a diary every day since my first child was born. So over, you know, 1,200 days of diary entries. But you know, I found that those diary entries, which I do on my phone, and always have a picture with them, are very kind of procedural. You know, this happened today, that happened today, and not necessarily super reflective. And so I wanted to bring more reflection in 2022. And so, you know, I thought, how could I do that? Maybe a diary, but a handwritten one, or one in a different space than the one that I'm keeping kind of my day-to-day challenges and adventures and that sort of thing type of diary, which sometimes is just a few sentences and a lot of pictures. And I love that diary on my electronic device because it can also pull up, you know, memories on this day, especially because I'm not a member of Facebook and I don't share pictures of my kids on social networks. I'm able to kind of look back. My kids are almost exactly 2 years apart to the day, so I can kind of compare where one was on this day, you know, a couple years ago, as, you know, see at this age what was happening. But the written diary, I have found very beneficial so far. It's only been a few weeks of that. I think I came up with the idea in mid-January, but I've also kind of downloaded like a 30-day journal challenge where it has kind of some deeper questions to go into, and I'm looking forward to having that as an extra space. I knew because it was reflective, I might want to do two things. One, not have kind of the definitely have to write every day, which I do have for my journal on my phone, and have it be more of an intermittent thing. So I changed the units on that written diary to be kind of 3 days a week was my goal, my habit tracker. And that I think has worked out well, and I've used that as well for some of my reflections and kind of written meditations on values and how my goals and actions are aligning with those values. So almost to the end of kind of the list of habits on my habit tracker, which I'm using an app called Habit on iOS, which I really like. It has a variety of different ways to look at your habits and has kind of a sliding bar and the ability to say whether you want that to be tracked per week or by day, and even if per week, when you want to be reminded. So the last big one was exercise. And I think previously I had broken down exercise to, you know, I want to ride my Peloton bike 4 days a week. I own this Peloton bike. I love riding it. It's also quite pricey, so I want to make sure that I'm kind of getting enough use out of it. And then, you know, I want to do, you know, so many days of Kung Fu per week and, you know, this much of weightlifting. So I switched up my exercise in that I changed the Peloton goal instead of number of days per week, which, you know, you kind of get what you ask for in terms of metrics. But sometimes when I had that kind of goal, I'd be, you know, just getting on my bike for 5 minutes to number of miles per week. So now I'm having a goal of riding 20 miles a week on the bike. And that kind of encourages me to get more actual cycling out of that exercise. And then changed my exercise goal to be something completely different, where just 20 minutes a day of exercise, and then my habit tracker reminds me that I have more energy when I exercise, which is huge. But it's so hard to get over that hump, especially as a parent, late at night, you know, when the kids are finally in bed, it's about 8 o'clock for us. And sometimes I'm just desperate to go to sleep, especially if it's a week where I'm getting up at 6 when the kids get up. My habit tracker exactly at 8 comes up and reminds me and says, exercise, you will have more energy. And it's absolutely true. I do have more energy. And if I exercise, I then have enough energy to stay up almost an extra hour. And then the next day I have more energy and I feel better. And even so, sometimes I, you know, hide that reminder and take a bath and read a book and go to sleep. But the unit of exercise is also just 20 minutes. And so I found, you know, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour, Pre-kids, sometimes those were my goals. Now it's just 20 minutes. And so, you know, sometimes you convince yourself, you know, I can do it for just 20 minutes. And then this isn't in my habit tracker, but I do have in my weekly journal, which I always have kind of an intention for the week in terms of my tasks lists. I also have a written planner for that, my weekly planner, I should say, instead of journal. I kind of lay out the days I want to do different things, and just keeping a variety to the exercise as well, rather than saying I want to do, you know, so much of this, so much of that. So I have one day where I want to do, you know, CrossFit, one day where I want to do Kung Fu, one day where I want to do yoga, one day where I want to do the cycling, one day where I want to go for a walk, a rest day, and, you know, one kind of wild card day to do any and all of the above. And I did this prior to the new year, that kind of revamped two things with my exercise routine. And this comes into, I've talked a little bit about changing the units of a goal, and now I'm going to talk a little bit about changing the intensity of a goal. And so I am a member of this online kind of CrossFit style community called streetparking.com, and a lot of their exercise philosophy is all about upping intensity and keeping consistency versus trying to do kind of huge long workouts infrequently or at lower intensity. And I think I've brought that philosophy to a lot of my habits. And in particular, for me, reflecting on what that means with the CrossFit stuff as well, you know, when I was pregnant, I was doing that as one of my main forms of exercise because I've kind of taken a step back from Kung Fu and I didn't have the Peloton bike yet. And I would kind of either do yoga or this CrossFit. They are fantastic, by the way. They have a bunch of, they're called mama modifications, one for every workout, such that if you're pregnant postpartum or having, you know, new to the workout style, needing modifications, they have suggestions for that. So aside, but in any case, I was doing that much more frequently. And then when I, you know, gave birth afterwards, I was able to get back to these other exercises and just didn't find myself coming back to the CrossFit with consistency. And so how I brought the consistency was that Street Parking has a vault workout, which is basically released every Monday, and they track it over time. And if you do 25 of those, and they repeat once in the year, so if you do 25, the 25 different ones, then you get a little badge. And I just decided, you know, you don't have to do CrossFit every day, you don't have to do it a few days a week, but just try to get that little badge, you know, try to do that one workout a week with the CrossFit. And that's really helped because, you know, once I'm in the platform regularly, at least once a week, sometimes I'm motivated to do that on my wildcard day as well, or even on my supposed rest day. And then I'm doing it 3 days a week instead of none. And so that's brought that back into my exercise routine, which I've really appreciated. And then prior to the new year, the Kung Fu was a struggle to get in. I was doing it via Zoom, but in a group class, and the class was about 30 minutes long. It wasn't very focused or very intense because my teacher wasn't able to give me kind of one-on-one stuff. And so, you know, sometimes my mind's wandering or I'm not being tracked. And a lot of times I just wouldn't show up. I wouldn't get the energy to show up. And it was very low stakes if I didn't show up because it was a group class. And, you know, if I wasn't on Zoom, my teacher would just turn off the Zoom and probably be even happier not to have to worry about that, given that he also gives in-person instruction in these group classes. It was a mixed kind of online hybrid sort of thing. So I said, instructor, what about for just a little bit more money, but not that much more, we do a private lesson. And instead of twice a week group classes, once a week private lesson. And that has brought both the consistency and the intensity to my Kung Fu, which has just brought it to the next level. I've made so much progress. Even though, you know, in practical terms, I'm reducing from 2 to 1 a week in terms of on paper what I was paying for. But actually, I'm increasing from like occasionally to more realistically one, sometimes zero, to, you know, consistently one, and then focused, where, you know, I simultaneously dread and I'm excited for these lessons because I know I have to be switched on the whole time. My teacher's staring at me and we're just, you know, he's correcting every little minor movement because it's just me and him. And I cannot kind of just switch my brain off. It's got to be on the whole time, which is part of the appeal of doing Kung Fu. The Peloton bike is kind of great because you get on and you can kind of switch off your brain. The instructor just tells you what to do. You do what they do, and that you get off the train at the end, essentially. With Kung Fu, it's a lot of kind of mental tracking and making sure to bring that focus. Again, bring meditation style focus to the movements that you're doing. So that's really helped with the exercise. And then in this very last portion, I think I'm almost at 30 minutes. I'm going to talk about what I think of as catalysts. So for me, a catalyst is something that kind of gets you unstuck or started with a habit that has a really disproportionate impact for what it is. Sometimes it's super little. So when I brought up habits that I have so consistently that I just don't even need to habit track, which is kind of like the goal, I guess, when you habit track, is to have habits graduate to the point where you don't even need to track them. They're that innate. And habit tracking is just kind of a vehicle that gets you to that goal. So I have some habits that are just like that. So flossing is one example. And for me, what I found when I reflected on like what is getting in the way of you flossing every day, which became especially important to me in the pandemic when I was pregnant and, you know, also not wanting to have dentist appointments as frequently as I might, maybe once a year instead of every 6 months, at certain points, depending on the state of the pandemic and the state of my health and my family's risk posture. In any case, you know, having the right tools in the right place. So we have two bathrooms, lucky enough to have two bathrooms in my house, making sure that I have floss in each of those bathrooms. And then as well, you know, like the part of taking the floss out of the container and then wrapping it around your fingers, and then it's kind of messy. And sometimes you're in a situation where maybe you just showered, you didn't floss before you showered. And to me, it just was a little bit more difficult to get into. So I got those floss picks. And I found like some nice recyclable kind of organic material kind. But in reality, it does create a little waste. Sometimes these habits, to get it into your life, you do have to make some sacrifices in other values. And for me, maybe sustainability took a hit, but, you know, consistency and flossing won. And so I have these floss picks that sit in each of my bathrooms, and that just, you know, makes it so easy to floss twice a day even. And so same thing with my vitamins. There's kind of three places where I might take vitamins. That would be in my downstairs bathroom, my upstairs bathroom, where I have a little vanity in my walk-in closet. And no matter what, I take them every night because I'm kind of confronted in the bathroom I choose to take a shower or a bath in. There they right are, and I'll take them there. And then if I forget, they're right there as I'm changing in out of my kind of robe into my pajamas, getting ready for bed. And so there's kind of no opportunity for me to say, oh, I forgot, and guess I'm just going to sleep now because they're not in the room, sort of thing. So having kind of the right tools in the right place, or whatever you need for your habit exactly when you think of it, to have it exactly there. Or removing a blocker if there's something that kind of you find is frequently just stopping you from taking that tiny little step, and it could be something super small for you. And this is something where, you know, another mental shift from, you know, coaching to consulting, I think a lot of these things I'm sharing not because this would help you in particular, but because, you know, the concept of finding your own catalyst can be really powerful. And your catalyst is going to be different than, you know, many other people's, because whatever is kind of blocking you or keeping you from doing something, if there is kind of a minor tweak, it's going to be very specific to you. So a couple other catalysts I discovered, as part of grouping, I also had a grouping of my habits into creation, whereas previously I had kind of separated those out into writing, podcasting, and music. And here I am getting back to podcasting. So how did I do that? Well, first of all, by, not being so specific, because realistically, some weeks I just don't have the creative spark or the desire to make music, and other weeks I do, and recognizing that I wanted to have a consistent habit that made sense in my life and was consistent enough to track it. And to do that, I bundled kind of music writing, podcasting, or any other form of creation, which can be really creative. So some days I count like making a TikTok, a video for that. Other days I count, writing a little passage in a blog or actually a novel draft. So for music, what I found when I do, which is rare and rarer these days, get the impulse to make music, sometimes what stops me is just setting everything up. It's been sometimes a month since I last did this, sometimes a few weeks, even if it's been a few days. I make electronic music, and it's almost like computer programming, where it is very specific and fiddly, and I'm not perfect in my tools yet. And so it would just take me so long, and so long could be, 5 minutes if I had done it recently, or, 20 or even 30 if I hadn't, to even get started, get set up, get everything launched, get my MIDI controller set up, that by the time I got through that, I was out of time or out of energy. And so something that I did, because I do have more money than time, really privileged that way, was buy an Ableton Push, which is a kind of all-in-one device for controlling a software called Ableton Live, and buy a license to Ableton Live as well. And it's super well integrated together, and just decide, this is my suite. I'm not going to play with new stuff, on occasion if I have the impulse, but, it's just all right there. And I got a little stand next to my desk where the Ableton Push sits, Ableton lies there, and everything's mapped automatically between the two. And there is a huge learning curve with both the software and the push, but it's the same learning curve. And I do find that it's all set up. So that has really helped there. Then in terms of writing, I've found that it does help to have a goal. Previously, my goals have been kind of more specific, maybe to do a NaNoWriMo, I've taken classes. So I thought I'd bring a class back in my life with the writing, and I'm starting that next week. And that's kind of a novel writing class. And then with podcast, podcasting has been a challenge for me as well. There's a bunch of places to get audio inputs from. I can do it from my phone. I can have a Blue Yeti mic that I've tried to use a lot on my computer. The Blue Yeti was, I think, maybe a mispurchase. It is such a sensitive, amazing mic that you really have to have almost absolute silence in the room, and you also have to be very close to the mic. And getting a setup, especially with kids around and with a computer that tends to put on its fan if I have a recording app open, it was always so loud, or just not the right setup. And then if I recorded on my phone, the audio wasn't as good. And my goal is to really have kind of a professional sounding setup. And so I, solved this by a neighbor gave me this really cool board. It's called the Tascam Model 12, and it has so many buttons. It's super complicated. I played with it a lot with the electronic music, and my neighbor got it from a friend of his, and it was missing a couple buttons, and his friend just bought a new board, and the neighbor didn't use it, so it was a totally free thing. Usually it would be about $600 or $800. So I played around with it for my electronic music for a while, but it just added that extra complexity on top of the push that I really didn't need at this point. And I wasn't using it consistently enough that I could keep track of its complexity. So I thought, hey, let me try to just set it up as a permanent podcast, ready to go board. And so I have my microphone plugged into it. It's recording to an SD card. It doesn't have a computer in the loop. I have all the EQ and everything set up exactly how I want it. And all I have to do to podcast is set my microphone in front of me and turn on the board and press the record button. And there it is. And then I have my iPad sitting next to me. And when I'm done, I will just take the SD card out. And I have an SD card reader plugged into the iPad. And I'll take the audio off and I'll put it on the Anchor app. And just kind of cut off the beginning, cut off the end in terms of the clicks, and add in a little transition. And we'll see how that works. But if it does work, you know, my kids are at the park right now with my husband. It was my morning with the kids. He slept in a little bit, and I said, could you take them to the park? And I'm recording. The house is silent. There's no computer fan. We'll see how the audio ends up. And if it ends up well, I think that this will be kind of unlocking my catalyst for podcasting, because that was always, you know, I've been chasing the dragon of trying to get this perfect audio. Never could really get it with my setup, and it would always take me so long, or I'd be kind of just trying something new every time. And now I think I could just have the board. It'll be right here. All right, so it has definitely been a minute. It is challenging to be a parent in the pandemic. It is challenging to, you know, figure out whether I even want to try to do anything above and beyond showing up to work. You know, even that is a challenge, right? Getting in the hours and showing up as a parent. But I found that a lot of the ways that I've restructured my habits and just reflecting on this every few months has helped me, you know, stay aligned with having that extra space in my life to do new things, learn new things, grow in different ways, and just figuring out ways to make those into permanent habits with the life I have to live now, which is, you know, snatches of time here and there, and you know, challenges at work and at home in terms of just doing the basics. But I've found that a lot of these habits have, you know, had those positive impacts. It's just some minutes a day that are outsized, you know, growing out into making me a better parent, growing out into making me a better employee and manager and leader. There's a lot of cross synergies that are unexpected, and then even kind of the exercises of reflection that I've built in bring so much into my you know, presence as a parent and as a leader. All right, so thanks for joining me for the Parenting and Productivity Podcast. And this board that I'm using to podcast now, I think will be really exciting because I can also patch in phone calls. So I'm hoping my next podcast will actually be an interview and I can try out that setup.